You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, someone I've had the good fortune to be involved with within the foreign affairs space is Dr. Anita Abbott. She's the chair, the founder, in fact, of something known as APSI, which of course is an acronym. It's for the Asia-Pacific Security Innovation Forum. And Anita joins me now. Dr. Abbott, lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you, Simon. Lovely to have you here too. Thank you.
Well, hearing your voice again reminds me of an excellent forum that I had the good fortune to join that you had organised a couple of years ago down in Queenstown, of all places, which was marvellous in itself. But a lot of listeners will not have heard of APSI before, the Asia-Pacific Security Innovation Forum. So tell us what this is all about. What is this forum? What do you focus on? And what are the important issues?
Well, Asia-Pacific Security Innovation, or APSI Forum, was established in April 2019 when I came back from NATO Defense College in Rome. And our first summit was attended by 38 delegates. From Thailand, Indonesia, Australia, India, Israel, New Zealand, the Philippines, the United States, Germany, and Canada. APSI Forum is a forum dedicated to the domain of geopolitics, international relations, and defense. It holds several events such as summits, colloquium, congress, strategic forum discussion, and recently we held geopolitical cooperation high tea in Auckland. It was informal discussion over an elegant afternoon tea that highlights the importance of collaboration and networking among international stakeholders. APSI has three divisions. The first one is the forum. The forum provides a platform for ambassadors, political figures and leaders, and military leaders to interact and share knowledge and experience. And basically, the forum aims to strategically utilize geopolitics and diplomacy to cultivate partnerships that shape geopolitical dynamics. The second division is Center of Excellence, where there are many academics here. The Center of Excellence has collaborative research, a network of advisory groups, and preparatory action research for strategic studies. And the next one is Community Hub. Last year, we had former child soldiers and widows who live in extreme poverty, where some of our networks were able to assist them, to support them. There are three of them.
And, it's a lot. I remember coming to one of the forums and speaking, and if I might, and for listeners to get a bit of a sense, it's a wonderful networking opportunity. You've got a great ability to bring, as you say, ambassadors, defense experts, public relations experts, theorists, academics, politicians, as I was at the time. And it was just fascinating to hear the different perspectives. So, I mean, clearly very successful because this is continuing on. You do this every year.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I think so. I think we are doing well. Thanks.
One of the things I know listeners will be really interested in is obviously your perspectives of what's happening in the United States at the moment. We obviously have a presidential election and the attempted assassination. But before we get there, I know part of your particular focus is around the whole geopolitics within Oceania, particularly, if I might use the term currents, that the geopolitical currents that affect smaller states. So I wonder if you could just talk us through a few observations there and how small is a smaller state?
Well, we actually focus on global geopolitics, but we also touch on small states. New Zealand and other small states in Oceania. New Zealand and other states in Oceania have challenges because they are small states. For example, they are heavily reliant on a limited number of industry or trade partners. And also, the challenge is to maintain neutrality or balanced relationship between competing major powers. What is more, external influences may dictate their domestic and foreign policy, and this will lead to a loss of independent action. So for this reason, there is formidable task, but necessary, of course, is to carefully navigate international alliances and partnership in order to avoid being drawn into conflicts or power struggles. So when we talk about small states, we different scholars will define them differently, but it will depend on the characteristic of small states, like what I just mentioned. Some of them is relying on trade partners and so on.
Do you think the way forward for New Zealand, well, is there any advice? Maybe I could phrase it that way. Is there any advice from your academic experience and the work through the forum of how New Zealand should navigate these tensions? Is it about more diplomacy? Is it about more public discussion? What are some of the things we should consider to help us through these tensions?
Certainly, diplomacy will play important roles in order to maintain neutrality or balancing relationship, and also in order to navigate international alliances and partnership. Continued diplomacy is the first, or I think a smart approach, the first and smart approach for a small state like New Zealand in global geopolitical dynamics. What else can I say? New Zealand should be aware, of course, of international external influences, because it will dictate New Zealand foreign policy and, of course, domestic policy. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I'm slightly biased on this, Dr. Abbott, having been targeted by some foreign influence currently in the news, that, you know, it's got to be exposed right across the spectrum so that, again, New Zealanders in this case have their eyes wide open. I mean, turning to the United States, as I say, this has been the big news of the last, 2 weeks. We had obviously the Biden-Trump debate, you know, a growing and tense, if you will, presidential election, and then only a few days ago, we had the attempted assassination of Trump. I don't know if you've got any general impressions there, but I know that you do have thoughts around, if we end up with a Trump presidency, how that might affect allies such as, I'm thinking, Japan, South Korea. So, yeah, any impressions of what's happening there?
Well, it is interesting, really, because nervous allies such as South Korea, Japan, and the Philippines, I would say they are nervous allies. They have different position, of course. I read from Financial Times today about South Korea. It says that the sophistication of North Korea's nuclear program and its closer relationship with Russia, and of course the possibility of Trump to be elected, have contributed to the growing public support in South Korea for developing its own nuclear arsenal. With regard to Japan and the United States, it will depend on who shaped the foreign policy there. There can be two implications or two possible scenarios. The first one is that the U.S.-Japan alliance is stable if Trump is elected. Again, it will depend on who shaped the foreign policy. For example, if Filbury or Colby or O'Brien's are in the house, then it will be different. And the second scenario is bandwagoning. Possibly some might argue that bandwagoning is not likely to happen. But it is worth to consider this. Bandwagoning, when we talk about bandwagoning, it is a state aligned with a stronger and adversary state. So the question is China ready for a closer alliance with Japan and vice versa? So that's my thought on South Korea and Japan as nearest partner, nearest allies if Trump is elected.
Which I think brings us back to where we started, is that ultimately this forum that you run, APSI, is about drawing people together to discuss the geopolitical challenges of today.
That's right. That's right. And I'd like to say that there are several security or emerging security issues and challenges that APSI has discussed. And the first one is great power rivalries. Salience example is the tension between major powers like the US, China, and Russia, and the ramification on global stability and regional alignments. What I mean by ramification on global stability is that there will be new allies, new partners, and bandwagoning, and possibly new bloc. And in this case, when we talk about China, the West need to have a clearer picture of what China wants to achieve. And second issue is related to territorial disputes and maritime security, such as the disputes in South China Sea, and also potentially rivalries between India and China in the Indian Ocean region, and possible escalation in Taiwan Strait and Red Sea. And the next one, of course, we know this, the spread of nuclear weapons and technology, particularly concerning countries like North Korea and Iran. APSI has discussed this. APSI discussed the spread of nuclear weapons, not only about North Korea and Iran, but also Pakistan and India. We had rep from India and rep from Pakistan, and they discussed the development of the nuclear weapon. And the next issue is the rise and spread of terrorist organization, which will impact on global security. And this will require international cooperation. The last thing that I want to say is the formation and evolution of alliances such as the Quad and NATO, and this will influence regional powers dynamics.
I was just going to say a big thank you for coming on to the show and talking us through. I hope that listeners can actually take away some confidence that people like yourself and others involved with APSI are actually touching on the big issues. So again, thank you for chatting with us.
Thank you for having me, Simon. Thank you.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.